Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of Luke, chapter number 16, verses 19 through 31, the Bible says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said unto him, Son, rememberest thou in thy lifetime that thou receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things? But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment. But Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one win them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. As you and I look at that passage of Scripture, there are those, of course, who try to discount what Luke 16, 19 through 31 says by trying to take away some of the power out of it by saying, well, that is just a parable. Well, first of all, I think those of you who have studied the Bible, that you and I know that this does not follow the pattern of a parable that Jesus would give. For an example, when you go to the book of Matthew chapter 13 and you see the parables, we find that Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like unto. For an example, you and I know that the meaning of the word parable means an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Another definition of a parable is laying along beside of. When you and I look at Matthew 13 again, and the Bible says that a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell. There is the parable of the soils. There are the parables of the kingdom. When you and I look at the New Testament, we understand that Jesus will say, for an example, the Scriptures will say, another parable spake he unto them. When you look at all of the parables in the New Testament, you will find that they do not identify the characters that are in that parable. And yet, when you and I come to Luke chapter 16, and let me just start by saying that I do not believe that this is a parable. Because in this, Jesus Christ calls names specifically. Now, the Bible says there was a certain rich man, and those of you who may be interested in languages, the Latin word for rich man is dives, D-I-V-E-S. And so when you're studying, there may be some who will refer to him as dives, but that is not his name. That is just the Latin word for rich man. When you and I look at this, I think there's something else we ought to understand. And that is that even if this were a parable, and I do not believe that it is, but even if it were, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, our Lord Jesus Christ never taught anything that was not the truth. And so when you and I study this parable, if they refer to it as that, but if you and I study it as the message that Jesus wants us to grasp, then we're going to understand. The Bible said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As you and I look at these few short verses, there are four things the rich man learned in hell. The Bible says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. As you and I look at this, the Bible says there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Here was a man, ladies and gentlemen, who was rich. He was wealthy. He was not an average, ordinary citizen of Jerusalem. The Bible says that he was a rich man. Now we have other passages in the New Testament talking about rich men. For an example, we go to Matthew chapter number 19, and the Bible tells us about the quotation marks, the rich young ruler. We hear the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 when he said, "Charge them that are rich in this world to trust not in uncertain riches." But if you and I can envision this rich man, the Bible says that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. When you and I begin to do a little bit of research, and now there are three shades. I found out there are three shades of purple. There is a purple blue, there is a purple purple, and there is a purple red. And so you can look at the various shades of purple. But ladies and gentlemen, when you and I go back to the Old Testament and the New Testament and the days in which our Lord is telling this particular instance and the Bible talks about purple, we need to understand that it was not a prevalent dye that you and I have today. As a matter of fact, history, and I think research will point this out, that around the Mediterranean Sea, there was a shellfish. And I'm sorry that I think it's spelled M-U-R-I-E-X. I'm not sure. But in that shellfish, that there was a vein by which you could squeeze that vein and get purple out of it. One writer on this passage of Scripture said that it would take 12,000 shellfish in order to get 1.5 ounce of purple, or to accumulate 1.5 ounces, it would take 12,000 shellfish. Now, you and I can imagine then, ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible said here was a man who was clothed in purple, can you imagine what it took in order to give him a garment that's clothed in purple? When you and I go back to the book of Proverbs chapter number 31 and the Bible talks about this virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. And the Bible says that her family is dressed in silk and purple. When you and I go to the book of Acts chapter number 16 and the Bible, now think about this, that there's a lady there by the name of Lydia. And that she was a seller of purple. Can you imagine the capital that that lady must have had? She either had a lot of money or she owed a lot of money. The Bible says she was a seller of purple. The Bible says there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, I want to tell you, you and I fare sumptuously. I do not. I mean, faring sumptuously every day, it would depend, I guess, on who you are as to whether you would identify yourself as faring sumptuously every day. I consider us, ladies and gentlemen, faring sumptuously every day. This man had the resources. He fared sumptuously, not occasionally, but every day. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. The Bible says that there was a certain beggar laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The Bible says that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Folks, this wasn't the Lazarus of Bethany with the brother Mary and Martha. You and I read that passage in John chapter 11 and in Matthew chapter number 21. We're not talking about the same Lazarus. The name Lazarus really was not an uncommon name in the days of our Lord in the era of Palestine. And the Bible says there was a certain man named Lazarus. Now look at this. The Bible said it laid at his gate. My friend, let me tell you, that word laid is that it indicates that he did not walk up and lay down at the gate of the rich man. But rather that, and a matter of fact, the Greek words in Luke 16 indicate that he was just kind of dumped out there. That somebody knew him, and that maybe they came by with a goat, with a cart behind it, and they would lay him on it, and then come along to the gate of the rich man, and just kind of dump his body out, just like almost, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to go to a dump. He was laid at his gate, full of sores. I think about Job of the Old Testament. You and I see Job as he sat there with his three friends at such a great distance. His breath was so bad they couldn't get close. And Job would sit there with pottery and he would scrape the boils. He would scrape the sores on his body with pottery. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that this Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores. I do not know what kind they were. Somebody said, well, maybe he was a leper. He wasn't a leper, because had he been a leper, he would have been in a leper colony. The Bible said he was laid full of sores. And the Bible says that the dogs came and licked his sores. The Bible says a named Lazarus that laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs. He was lame at the gate of the rich man. The Bible says the dog came and licked his sore. The Bible says that it came to pass that the beggar died. It's carried by the angels, Abraham's bosom. The Bible says that it came to pass that the rich man died and was buried. Can you imagine the elaborate funeral that had been held for the rich man? Elaborate funeral, a mausoleum, a place where they could put that body in a long procession. And if they didn't have enough mourners, they even hired mourners. The beggar died. Was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. Death is a great leveler. The Bible says the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us about the burial of Lazarus. I mean, he was probably taken out somewhere. They just dug a hole, dumped his body into it. Probably nothing there to indicate that here's a man that lived from sometime in maybe 35 B.C. to 36 A.D. There's nothing there to indicate. There's no marker. There's no tombstone. Carried by the angels. Say, the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. He lift up his eyes, being in torment. He was in hell. The Bible specifically, the text says, in hell he lift up his eyes. The word hell actually should be translated to Hades, the word Hades. There's actually three words for the word hell that are used in the New Testament. One Hades, one Gehenna, and one Tartarus. Tartarus is only used, to my knowledge, one time over in the book of 1 Peter, when the Bible says that the angels were kept in hell reserved until the day of judgment. That's in the Tartarus. The word Gehenna comes from what is referred to as the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom, which was a garbage dump, basically. Now then, the Bible says the rich man lift up his eye in hell, being in torment. You see, is Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried, Father Abraham. I want to give you four things that he learned. Number one, he learned that hell is a reality. Oh, there are those who say, Brother, man, you know, hell's a figment of the imagination of man. You go tell the rich man that. The Bible speaks of hell as a place in Mark chapter number 12. The Bible says that it is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible speaks of it as being a place of outer darkness. The Bible says there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible refers to it in Revelation chapter 19, chapter number 20, and chapter number 21 as a place of fire. My friend, you and I, we sit here in the comfortableness of this auditorium with the air conditioning down to 68, and we don't even imagine what hell is like. I heard a preacher tell this, that a brother was, I don't know, going by some place a bit where they had this hot fire, where they do glass, and where where you can do it. And he made a comment when he just went by, and the fellow was working there. He said, "Looking at how hot that is, just imagine how hot hell is going to be." That's all he said. Went on. A couple of weeks later, the fellow shows up at the church building, responds to the invitation. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I got to thinking about what I heard you say as you went by." And he said, "I want to get my life right. I want to do something about it." He learned that hell is a reality. See, you and I shake our fists at God and say, "Oh, you're not going to condemn me to hell." Yeah. You reckon the rich man did that? I doubt it. He's probably too interested in his business, in his savings accounts, in all the property he had, all the gold he might have accumulated. His clothes, his food. Well, he didn't literally, but now he knows that hell is real. Second, he learned that God meant what he said. The Bible says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that, preacher. I'm going to wander on through life without obeying the gospel. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. God says, "Assemble on the first day of the week." I don't believe He really means it. you got to be kidding me, preacher. You think to forsake the assembly, that's nothing. I got a vacation going. He learned that hell was a reality, that God meant what He said. He learned that he didn't have a second chance. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day. You see, the Bible says the rich man died and was buried, and following that there was an invitation song, and my friend, it will be. Someday it will be too late. There will be no invitation song. There will be no invitation. There will be no pleading and praying and begging folks to obey the gospel. There won't be. See, he learned that he didn't have a second chance. And number four, he learned that it was too late to pray. "I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldst send in my Father's house, that he may testify unto them, lest they come to this place of peace." He said, "No." They have Moses. In other words, let me just quickly paraphrase that. They have the Old Testament. "Oh, no, no. But if one went to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said, "No. If they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, Brother Acuff, if God would just perform a miracle, that person who is not a Christian would obey"? No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. How do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit tells me that in Luke 16. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. But now, ladies and gentlemen, one has arisen from the dead. And one has brought back a message. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus arose from the dead. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Yes, a miracle was performed. Jesus came forth from the dead. How many folks will hear him? There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. More the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and saith, Abraham, afar off, and cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger of water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Ladies and gentlemen, God has mercy upon every one of us today. His grace and love is extended to us today. Will you take advantage of it now and respond to the invitation of our Lord, be baptized for the remission of your sins, to confess your faults one to another,